RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rap, boys and girls, with a great new addition to the team this week. It is the founder of the consumer action group, Matt Gander, and of course Lee's over there on the zit and the end of the nose of Europe, because he's always there. He just whinges a lot. You know why he's still in the UK? Why Mark and I have come out? We've got passports and he hasn't. Because they won't give him one.
Because they won't let me have one.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, as far as being in Paris, the judge said if I keep my nose clean, I'll be able to go back home after not too much longer.
I used to drink in a bar in Paris. You got called Le Hombre.
Oh, and every story is alcohol. Why is it?
Because I drink a lot.
Well, that's very true. Well, you spill most of it. here's one to shock everybody. There's been a bit of an argument in the UK about, I don't know, commercialising so many events during the year, Christmas being one of the main targets. But the Church of England is actually fighting back. It's going to launch its own range of Easter eggs. Now, I know it's only October.
It's a space.
Yeah, I know it's only October, but trust me on this. When my father had the retail outlets, he would be buying his Christmas stock in June. That's how long you book in advance.
They're putting it in on the shelves in the UK in July. I can't believe it. I think it's
unreal. Anyway, there's the Church of England are launching a thing called the Real Easter Egg, and it's supposed to be the first egg to mention Jesus on the packaging. It will go on sale next year. It's also going to contain fair trade chocolate, and donations from the profits will be made to the two charities, Baby Lifeline and Tradecraft, which is actually quite commendable. Nearly 8,000 churches are being encouraged to place orders before December, and my question to you guys, will you buy them?
I've got a question for you before I tell you whether I'll buy it or not. Right, this is a simple question, and yes. I bet neither of you can answer it.
Yep.
What have Easter eggs got to do with Jesus?
Isn't there
Well, they've got... I was going to say they've got to egg people on to buy them.
See what I mean? Nobody can say why Easter eggs have got...
Let's not shell out any more jokes like that. Actually, there was a... somebody was being interviewed this, and they described the egg as something being born, which tied into Jesus because he was reborn when he was... came up from the thingy and so on and so forth.
Quintessential.
So, come on, are you going to buy? Would you buy one?
No, because I don't like Easter eggs.
Oh, all right. You don't like chocolate?
I don't really like chocolate, no, because it's not got any beer in it.
I'd love to know from the audience, because these Easter eggs are being supported by the church and the money from them is going to the two charities. Would you buy those over one of the American brands like Cadbury's? Because it's no longer English. The First World War officially ends this week, and I need Mark to explain this to me a little bit. So, Mark, put your thinking cap on. 1914 to 1918 was supposedly going to be the war to end all wars. And at the end of the war, Germany was faced with a huge, great, enormous debt, which was set by the Allied armies 92 years ago. And this coming Sunday, the war officially ends because the bonds are paid up, but they can't do that because it's a Sunday. Mark?
Yes, I'm just wondering what's... I'm just wondering if this is another excuse for the banks to withhold payment. I don't know. But, for your Zivaris offer.
Yes. But how does this work then? Because the money that they're paying back was paid for by bonds, so it means that people, pension funds and corporates were holding the bonds. Isn't that a bit risky when it's somebody else? Because we had this big thing about pension funds in places all over the world struggling a bit. How does that work, Mark? I don't get it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it'll certainly be very interesting to know what the bonds are worth. I mean, you know, are they on a sort of a fixed interest, or are they sort of linked to the markets? I mean, if they're linked to the markets and the way the markets have been performing in the past few years with the economic crisis, maybe some people are going to get a really bloody nose. But maybe on the other hand, maybe they're so old, people aren't particularly worried about them. I can imagine that a lot of the original owners are dead. And I can imagine that a lot of the bonds... I mean, do you have to tender the paper? I think you have to present the paper to get them, do you?
Yeah, think you do.
Also,
yeah, because it's a bond.
I mean, if that's right, I can imagine a hell of a lot of them, you know, are lost. You know, it's like getting sort of free coupons or free vouchers. I mean, I think these companies depend on the fact that a lot of them are just going to be thrown away in order to make their profit. Maybe that's the idea here. Well, maybe I'm being too flippant about it.
No. Well, actually, as an aside to that, because I remember I've done this so many times, where you sort of wanted... And I won't mention the names of the building societies that I've done business with. And you end up with like £2 left over in the account.
And they try to nick that off you.
And you go to a different scenario somewhere or other. That money must go somewhere. If I don't take it back out, and I'll be honest, I never bother. I think I got one letter saying, do you want something to do with a transfer or something? And I thought, oh, it's only £2, can't be bothered. What happens to the money that gets left in the bank by people that have died, obviously, people that have, I don't know, emigrated or whatever? Do the banks just keep that money, Mark, or do they have to do something with it?
Have you heard of suspension accounts?
No.
Well, the bank has suspension accounts, and that's where all the unclaimed money goes to, like all the unclaimed children.
How long have they got to keep it for? Before they
I really don't know, but I mean, I can look it up and find out for next week if I'm still invited again.
I think it's 2 years. They've got to hold on to it for 2 years, and then it's theirs.
No, more than that, surely.
I'll
bow to your greater knowledge on that, but I've just got a feeling it's 2 years.
So basically, they get to keep it, Mark, at the end of the day?
Yeah,
possibly. I suppose that they're certainly, I mean, I suppose that they can certainly charge the cost of maintaining it. Not that there are many costs, but, you know, they're going to be lending it out. I mean, it's not money that's going to be doing nothing. So they're going to be lending it out. Mm-hmm. They're going to get a rate of interest on it. And I can imagine that if you later on, you know, you try to sort of get the money back, maybe because you realize that it belonged to your granny who died ages ago, you know, you'll get something back. But I can imagine the rate of interest. They'll say, oh, well, suddenly, you know, we wrote to your grandmother 10 years ago and told her that it was transferred to a different system where it's only earning 0.5% now. She had an opportunity to let us know, but she didn't. But, you know, she died 50 years ago. whatever it is, you can be absolutely certain it's a money spinner for the banks.
Yes.
And you know what? That's the theme. That's the quintessential theme throughout this programme.
Very good.
Am I going to be able to do my publishing
thing? Yeah, just come back onto that, take another point from that, if I may. Because this is the other thing I don't understand about banks. If we didn't borrow from banks and do business with banks, banks would be dead in the water. So why are they so alien to customers?
Because they've got all our money and they've got a lot to do about it.
Brilliant.
Or is it...
I think that wraps up the programme, actually, because that's absolutely right.
Oh, well, I'll carry on there. Lee, yes, we wanted to... you've got a big new story coming out, haven't you, Lee?
Yes, thank you. That's right, yeah. Now, I want to say thank you. It's a bit bigger than the fact that I've written a story and it's been published. It's what the editor of Ghost Voices magazine is actually doing. She's done something, Lisa Evans, she's called, and she's done something.
Would you get close to your microphone and stop moving away?
I'm sorry, it's in my mouth. I say this every week.
Go on, carry on. Right, carry on.
Right, anyway, yeah, Lisa Evans has done something which I think is very brave in this sort of publishing climate. She's gone back to the quintessential way of publishing in the Dickensian era of penny dreadfuls. She's actually publishing my story, the real story of the Village of the Damned. The first part of it goes out on Halloween, and the second part of it goes out in the Christmas edition. Well done, Lisa. This is a dramatic story about a village that hunted down a member of its own society, and they hunted and taunted this man until he killed himself. And that's what the story is about.
That was a commercial break on behalf of Lee Banks. Europe's first dedicated 3D television channel has been launched in the UK. It will broadcast for 14 hours every day on Sky 3D is the channel. There was lots of furore at the Las Vegas show earlier this year, the Consumer Electronics Show, talking about 3D telly. And I have to say, whilst I am a very... Who's moving about there?
It's me. I've broken everything. I've pulled my wire out, and now my microphone's fell out, and my glasses have fell out.
God, Bennett. I am a technology guy, and I do like them, but I don't see 3D television working. Is it something that would inspire you, Mark?
Well, you don't see it working probably because you're not wearing the special glasses.
Very good. But do you see it taking off?
I don't know if it's going to take off, but I tell you what, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm just dying to watch it. And especially if it's, I understand that there are some that you can buy. They're probably a real arm and a leg that you don't need the glasses. I'm certainly going to give it a bash. I'm very excited.
Well, if you want to try it, there's a lot of, actually, you know, red and the paper glasses that you can buy in joke shops and all sorts of things like that. They come free with most software these days as well, funnily enough.
Really? Why?
Well, because there's a lot of embryonic 3D software about, and it's very, very, very low cost. A few weeks ago, it was Susie Perry on the Gadget Show.
We do like her.
She actually set up a camera thing that's on YouTube, and you can watch the results. And it was really weird because I saw the results with these glasses on, and yet my partner couldn't see the 3D with them. But as this guy was running towards you, if you go to, it's 5.tv, because I found it on there, as a bit of a gadget fella. But look at Susie Perry's 3D video, and if you can get a pair of glasses, you can test it by having a look on YouTube, and it really works incredibly well. Work and relationship pressers make the mid-30s, we'll ask Mark about this, because he's the youngster, the stressful time for Brits.
He's not, you know, because he was telling me where he used to go in London when he was his youth.
That was his dad.
The roundhouse.
That was his dad. That was his dad. It was your dad, Mark.
it was your dad, Mark, wasn't you?
Encourage him, for goodness sake.
The Magic Village in Manchester, either.
Apparently 2,000 people were quizzed about this, and it seems that, and this was done by the charity called Relate, which is a relationship charity, and they reckon that the true midlife crisis time has now moved down to 30. Did you have a crisis when you were 30? Oh, Mark,
I've had a crisis at all my life.
Well, Mark did, because that's why he got into the Consumer Action Group. Because it must have been about that time, Mark.
The Consumer Action Group was only started 5 years ago.
I'm being nice!
No, we're not telling the world you're 53. We're pretending you're 46.
I think my whole life has been a crisis, actually. So.
Just before then.
All right, we'll move on. And this is something I'm sure Marks can contribute to. Big Brother is after you in the UK, or are they? There's a law firm has pledged to continue to target file sharers. Now, file sharers, for those that don't know, are these naughty people that download illegal music and videos from various websites around the world. Yeah. Gallant McGillan is to go to the High Court on the 4th of October to try and get the personal details of hundreds of PlusNet users in the UK. The internet service providers don't want to do all sorts of stuff like that because everybody gets into trouble. But the funny thing is, information about consumers was given over and then it got leaked. Thousands and thousands of users' personal details got leaked by groups. And so there's a whole mishmash of this. I suppose if you're not doing anything wrong, does it matter? And if you are doing wrong, don't do the crime if you can't do the time.
That's a Bob Dylan phrase.
Oh, flipping heck.
Bob Dylan invented that phrase. If you can't do the time, don't do the crime. But 1976, he coined that phrase. Just thought it'd help.
Thank you.
Because I don't understand what you're talking about.
Now, Mark, when we were in the office earlier talking about this via Skype, you had some knowledge
Easy
of this.
Up with you, Mark.
That's only because I knew it's the novelty.
Oh, got it. Carry on. Mark.
All right. Well, look, this story, this whole business of ACS law is a huge issue on the Consumer Action Group website. I mean, the first thing to say is that there are lots of people who share files. In other words, they're sharing music, they're sharing films and so forth. And, you know, a lot of people are sort of saying, well, we've got a right to do this because there should be freedom to use this stuff. I have to say that I don't agree with that. And I do think that people earn their livings. And although maybe the amount of money they're making out of it seems to be an awful awful lot. At the end of the day, you know, I think copyright's an important protection for anybody, whether they're producing records, plays, radio, or what have you.
Yep.
But on the other hand, we've got ACS Law, who apparently trying to track people down. And then instead of, and this is what I really object to, instead of following, if you like, sort of due procedure, in other words, or due process, that these people are being taken to court, they're being offered a sort of, you know, an offer they can't refuse. Pay 500 quid and we won't take you to court. Pay 500 quid and we won't sort of, you know, name you and shame you. And I have to say, I find it very coercive and I really don't like it. And let me say that in other areas like shoplifting, that there are one or two other companies that are doing exactly the same thing.
Really?
And oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I won't make the names now, but it's a real area of concern that young people who maybe don't know their rights and, of course, who maybe are not at all guilty in that maybe they haven't done what they're accused of being doing are being threatened in a very, very nasty way, and eventually they're stumping up very large sums of money simply to avoid the trouble and to avoid the shame. And ACS Law have been very, very seriously criticised. And of course, the real funny thing, and I think it is funny, is that there is a website, quite an aggressive website, called 4chan. Very interesting website as well, and they decided to mount an attack on ACS Law, and I think somehow or other they hacked their system, and of course, you know, this is unlawful.
Yes, absolutely.
But can't recommend that.
No, well, I'm certainly not recommending it at all, but certainly, you know, the results, I mean, is there a poetic justice here? The thousands, and I mean, I think, Eric, you said, I think they just keeps them coming. I mean, it's like the expenses scandal. More and more keeps them coming of people's personal details and lists of the stuff that they were accused of lifting, and also personal or private correspondence from people within the firm have been linked out of the internet. And now the information commissioner is looking around and saying, well, you know, all your information is not properly secure. This should not have happened. And I think that they may be in risk of getting a very, very heavy fine. And I think they're nuts continuing to go to the High Court for a further order on the 4th of October. I think it's time that they ought to just put it away and sort themselves out before they go any further.
Because the danger with this is that, and I can see Lee ready, bated breath, ready to jump.
I just have something to say.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be slagging off the internet, as he normally does.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
But the fact is that there is a thing called data protection. There's all these systems in place, and it seems that some people can just cowboy.
Data protection's ludicrous.
But no, there's some good sides to that. There are some organisations that can seem to just cowboy their way through it, make the unwitting consumer nervous as hell, to the point where it's almost like a Nigerian scam all over again.
Well done, Eric. I like that.
It is.
Can I just ask you and Mark a question? Because you both know about this better than I do. Mm-hmm. But in my naivety, this file sharing thing, which seems to be such a heinous crime, right? What is the difference between file sharing on the internet? I do realise the scale of it. But apart from the scale, what's the difference between what I used to do when I was young, which is lend people my LP on
well,
my
you
album.
You could lend them it, Lee. That's the same. That's okay. But I think where this gets blown up out of all proportion, and it's like some other things on the web. Years ago, I had an office in Ashford in Kent, and we had this little fella who used to come around once a week, never bought anything from me because I knew it would be rubbish, where he would copy onto cassette, like, Michael Jackson's latest album or the new Genesis or something like that. This kind of file sharing under a different guise has been going on for years. You know, years ago, we didn't have an MP3 player, but we had an open reel tape machine. It was the same thing.
Say, you record it. So why is all this angst and anger about it? People in the music industry are still making music, making money out of downloads and out of music being put on the internet.
I think they're saying that the damage to them economically now has become reached a very serious proportion. I mean, I don't know what the true figures are, but I think that they reckon that there's a real significant depletion in their sales as a result. You know,
it's a new world out there. They've got to learn to cope with it like everybody else.
Well, you know, but I mean, imagine that. You know, I mean, I'm sorry to say this, Lee, but I mean, imagine you're a journalist and you write, you write an article.
I am.
And you go to. Sorry,
allegedly.
I didn't intend that. Beg your pardon. And you know that you go around to the publisher and say, "Well, I've written this article. You know, do you want to publish it for a fee?" And they say, "Well, actually, we've already got a copy. We got it from somebody else, and we're going to publish it for free." I mean, I think that I'd be bloody angry about it.
Yeah, of course you would. It says that sort of thing does happen, but that in the great scale of things, it's like the percentages we were talking about of the banks' complaints against the banks. Actually, the times that happens to you is very, very small. There are ways. The publicity that people get through the internet for their music is phenomenal, and there always will have to be a price that you pay, and that's the price that these people are paying. This is no more than, like Eric says, recording on a tape somebody else's music, saying thank you very much, and playing it in your car.
Mark, you got the final word on this one.
Well, I think that the people who go around saying, well, you know, that we're upholding the right to download files because this is about, you know, freedom of the internet and so forth, I think they're very wrong, actually.
BT is to provide super fast broadband to up to 90% of homes in Cornwall and the Isles of Scilly. Excuse me if I sound like I'm laughing. In the biggest rural fibre optic rollout in the UK, £132 million funding is being put into this, shared between BT and the European Union. I just wonder, when are they going to get the rest of the UK onto some form of sensible internet?
You know what else strikes me about this? When Google announced the instant search facility, right?
Yeah.
It just brings up search suggestions as you type. I thought, thank God for that. I always thought that listing 18,300,000 results in 13.13 of a second just wasn't quick enough.
Oh, well, that didn't work very well. Then we'll move on.
I'll make a comment about this BT in Cornwall. There must be some very important person living in Cornwall. That's all I can imagine. I wonder if it's the chief executive of BT.
Could well be. Apparently, thieves in France have broken into a vineyard. France, note this, in France, and stolen an entire crop of Cabernet Sauvignon grapes, say the police. Has it made...
They've all brought it round to my house. I'm crushing them as we speak.
I was going to say, has it made the news in France, then, Mark?
I hardly ever listen to the news. There you are, that makes three of us.
For goodness sake. But apparently last week, the thieves took advantage of a full moon using you've got to be able to hear a harvesting machine taking 30 tons of grapes. Why didn't they just...
That's because you're all drunk.
Oh. Well, I think they didn't. They pick them by hand.
Well, apparently they use a machine.
Yeah, right.
So, have you ever heard of this before in France?
Me? No, I haven't at all. But as I say, I mean, I don't really sort of keep my eye on what's going on. But I mean, it does seem quite an extraordinary operation, doesn't it?
It does. Really, when you see that actually, it was only worth €15,000. How much is that worth in real money?
Well,
15,000 euros.
I'm sorry to be always a cynic about this, but I'm just wondering how much it was insured for.
That's a terrible remark to make.
I know, sorry.
but haven't we all got more cynical over the years?
Yeah, because we keep catching people out at things, that's why.
I used to be quite nice before I started the Consumer Action Group.
It went downhill from there, I understand. Yeah, true. Astronomers...
Just about Google.
Oh, come on.
No, carry on. No, I like this one. Carry on.
Astronomers have detected an Earth-like exoplanet, whatever that is, that have got the right kind of conditions to support life in the same way as it is here on Earth. Now, this... little planety thing.
Is that a good thing? Do we really want to perpetuate life on Earth somewhere else?
Well, I suppose it depends on who we're going to send. And I've already nominated Lee Banks to go and have a look.
Yeah, oh, no. Oh, wow. I love you.
apparently, it's 20...
Does that mean you want to get rid of me?
Sorry?
Does that mean you want to get rid of
You're
me?
You're ever so quiet.
Send me off. Hey, what? My headphones fell off again.
Hang on. Apparently 20 light years away from Earth, in its star's Goldilocks zone, a regional surface temperature will allow the presence of liquid water. Quick question to you.
Is there any other form of water?
I don't know. I suppose, yes, there is, because there's heavy water, isn't there? There's a scientific thing.
Frozen water.
Something like that. Would you go?
Would I go? Of course I'd go.
Oh, would
you?
You
don't have to pay tax out there, would you?
Oh no!
Oh no! What's that?
It's me phone.
That's a girl phone.
Yes, big girl's blouse phone. I'll call her back in a minute. Would you, if you had the chance, Mark? Would you go into space?
Would you yes, Mark. Would you go into space, dear?
Oh yes, I would.
Oh, he's got such an.
Can you imagine us docking on that station?
As long as the three bears were there as well.
For goodness
sake. Yeah, that's all you're going to get.
That's right. Yeah.
But it does pose an interesting question. What happens when planet Earth gets too big? Where do we go?
Well, you know, maybe. I mean, the thing is, how can you travel 20 light years away?
Really fast.
Very fast. I mean, it was 186,000 miles per second.
Yeah.
Multiply that by 20
you see,
years worth.
Get yourself a Mondeo. Michael Mondeo does that.
I will say this to you two cynics. If you think back to your...
I've got something really important to say.
If you think back to your teenage years, when you used to watch sci-fi programs, it's incredibly interesting in... And that's why I think my life is so amazing, because as a teenager, we went into sci-fi, and now sci-fi has become sci-fact, because if you take the notion that in 1948, some guy wrote this paper that said, if you stick three satellites up around the world, you can communicate with the whole world with these three satellites. And in actual fact, that's why it's called Clark's Belt, because it does work. And we've seen in the last 30 to 40 years some amazing developments. You think of Star Wars and the communicator. Well, we've all got mobile phones that do everything now. Same difference.
And yeah, here's a question for you, my life's so amazing, Mr. Wiltshire.
Mm.
Right? This is true, right? Off Google, I checked this yesterday. I had a go at this because I knew this was coming up. What we're talking about is the proof of life.
Right.
And if you can prove life in outer space, you can prove God, you can prove the laws of physics, you can prove everything, right?
Mm.
Then answer me this question. Mr. My Wife is Amazing,
yeah.
Right? I Googled, right, proof that God exists, and I got 10,800,000 results on Google, yeah? I put in proof that Lady Gaga is a man, and that got 52,900,000 results. Explain that.
Just coming up to two more quickies as we run towards the end of the time. Apparently, Lee's found the pill of youth. A professor has spent 40 years trying to find an elixir to keep people living longer. My question is as simple as this. Would we want Lee to last any longer?
If he was on another planet, yes.
And finally, the legendary footballer Paul Gascoigne has agreed to make a shock return to football as a manager of Garforth Town. Where's that? West Yorkshire.
I'll tell you what, it'd be a shock if he turns up.
Well, oh, for goodness sakes.
Is that another phone call?
Yes.
He's so popular.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's those little cards you leave in the telephone boxes in background.
I think it's Paul Gascoigne actually trying to ask where Garforth Town is.
Indeed so. Beautifully ended, boys and girls. That's absolutely wonderful. Mark, thank you so much from Paris. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. And we look forward to that in the future as well, Mark.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Okay. And to him over there, you're not going to take the elixir of life, are you?
I'm not going to take the what?
The elixir of life, are you?
I'm sucking on it right now.
That was Postcard from Pop Brad, boys and girls. Have a great week. Till next week, we'll see you then. Take care. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.